it's time to run a business. And if you have inventory, that's your biggest asset. So we need to learn how to manage that because that'll control all of the other expenses we can be seeing.
It's the E-commerce Master Plan podcast, here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome. It's brilliant to have you here. So thank you for hitting play and choosing to listen to one of our inspiring guests. In this episode, we're getting deep into inventory management and how it forms your success. We've got the author of a brand new bestseller on the topic joining us, and I'm particularly pleased to be able to highlight this topic because lots of what I've been learning over the last few months points to clever inventory management becoming a skill that the best of us are going to need to succeed. If we look back in 2024, if we look back in 2030 even, and we're going at who really succeeded over the last 10 years, over the last year, it's going to be those people who have got to grips with how to make their inventory work for them. They will have understood the data, combined it with their marketing activity, and made better decisions about how they're stocking and what they're holding on to and what cash they're tying up in stock. So there is a lot of good stuff that you need to know coming up in this episode. So please do listen to the end so you don't miss out on my guest's top tips, which are really, really good in this episode in particular, and my own take on this episode as well. Are you tying up capital with goods that take months to arrive? Let Trade pay your supplier invoices for you and then pay them back up to 4 months later. No security, no dilution, no more cash flow headaches. Pay only a transparent flat fee with each financed invoice. Learn more or apply to see if Trade can help your business grow at ecmp.info/trade. That's ecmp.info/TREYD. So that's Trade spelt TREYD. And now to introduce our guest expert. Sierra Stockland is the host of the Inventory Genius podcast and the author of the brand new best-selling book, Inventory Genius, Use Your Inventory to Create More Profit and Keep More Cash. And she was also one of our guests during our recent e-commerce Explored the Overstock Problem event. Hello, Sierra.
Hi, I am so excited to visit with you.
Oh, it's brilliant to have you back because we only got to chat for a very short period of time as part of the event, and this time we get a whole episode to dive into inventory and to tell everyone about your brilliant book. But before we get into all of that, how did you get started in e-commerce? Because we didn't manage to talk about that last time either. So how did you end up here?
Yeah, so I ended up in the inventory industry, in the product world, back in 2006. The entrepreneurial journey actually started for me when I was 13. I started my first business then. And I should actually say I started before that. I used to knit these beautiful little bags and make jewelry, and I'd go into mom and pop shops and ask if they wanted to buy. So that was probably my introduction to inventory. But then in 2006, I opened my first retail store, and then I have grown my inventory expertise since that point.
Wow. So you've done the what I think is tougher on inventory management than just doing e-commerce, because you've got shelves that have to have stuff on them.
Yes.
You've done the bricks part of this, the really tricky part of the space. Would you say it's more tricky than the pure e-commerce side of things on an inventory front?
Yeah, I think so, because brick and mortar just gives this whole new element of traffic in merchandising. Like you said, you have to have enough. We ended up franchising my brand, and so we had a warehouse and we supplied all of our franchise locations. So then the inventory really multiplied and became even trickier. So I have touched a lot of products in my lifetime.
Yeah. And clearly, because you've written the book on it, experienced the best and the worst. So why did you decide to write your book?
So a couple reasons, really. I was using and had developed this inventory genius method that I was using over and over with clients, and seeing that was really successful. And so I knew that I needed to put it into a written form. I talk about my method here and there on the podcast, in my Facebook group, with my clients, but I wanted to condense the method into an easy to read solution for people who just wanted to pick it up and get a start. And then even deeper than that, I really wanted to tell my story, because when we see entrepreneurs, we see the highlight reel, we think they're fancy, we see all the $1 million, you know, dollar signs everywhere, but we don't hear the hard part, and we don't often hear from them how they got to where they're at. And I think that is more important than the highlight reel. And so I wanted to be able to bring my story and weave it in to the method, and then bring in my client stories, because I think that offers hope. So when people are feeling really discouraged in their inventory-based business, I want to let them know that there is hope and we can get to the other side of your problem. And so by weaving in my client stories, my own crazy journey, and the method, I knew that I would be able to bring something that would be super simple to read. So it was time to write the book.
Time to get it done. And I love the fact you've weaved stories into the book, because I think inventory management, inventory, super exciting and cool. It's product. It's exciting. We've picked it. We get excited about it. We get excited about selling it to other people. Inventory management tends to have people going, oh dear, this is going to be quite dry. But actually, I think the reality of it is you can make some subtle changes and have a huge impact on your business very, very quickly, which I think is hugely exciting and sexy and interesting. But looking at a spreadsheet and telling someone that does not have the same impact as going, this brand had a similar problem to you and they did X, and within X number of weeks, Y happened and it was brilliant. Obviously substituting my algebra for something more interesting. But do you find you know, it's those, that story part of the journey which really helps people go, okay, this is worth me spending my time on?
Yeah, you know, I think when I start to talk to people about inventory, or I say I'm a profit strategist, or I help with your financials, I can read people and their eyes just like glaze over. Oh, I need this, but I have no interest in that. It's not beautiful. It's not fun. I'm just going to try doing the way that I'm doing it right now, which isn't working anyway. But as humans, we relate to story. So story helps us understand a concept. Story helps us put ourselves in that place. So if I feel completely despondent because I have so much inventory and so much debt, but I heard a story of someone with a similar business as me and they did, like you said, XYZ, and it produced this different result, every time that discouragement comes, I can place myself into that story. And so stories help us, you know, find the subject matter attractive, but it also gives us reason to put ourselves in that place and to give us hope that we can change where we're at.
And, you know, as you've mentioned, you have worked with thousands of product-based business owners. And, you know, and I've said in the intro how important I think inventory management and understanding the data and getting to grips with it is going to be for success over the next decade. Is it something you're finding is becoming a bigger issue for people? It needs to be more front of mind, offers more potential than it did in past years? Is the time now for actually learning this properly?
You know, I think it really is, because costs are rising. It's expensive to be a business owner, and it's getting more and more expensive between payroll and fixed expenses and all of those things. I mean, life is getting really expensive and business is getting really expensive. And so knowing your inventory and the key part that that plays and how the margin with your inventory can really control some other expenses, it's necessary. We can't just play. I always tell my clients, you have to stop playing store with your store. We're done with that. Like, it's time to run a business. And if you have inventory, that's your biggest asset, most likely. So we need to learn how to manage that, because that'll control all of the other expenses we can be seeing are on the rise.
So I want to dive into a little bit of the book. Obviously, we're not going to repeat the whole book here, because A, we don't have time, and B, it's written much better in the book than we could do justice to it right here and right now on the podcast. But there are a couple of bits of the book that I thought were particularly good. And I think no one ever seems to be teaching, you know, from my experience in the industry. People just don't talk about inventory. No one's really teaching it. And I think one of the reasons is because people just get stuck on the maths. And I think your chapter about the maths, about profit, about margin, about net profit, and all those important things, is one of the best guides to understanding the terms that I've come across. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
How do you approach helping people? What can you summarize the advice around those numbers for us without turning this into a maths lesson.
Yes. So I think one of the geniuses that I've developed over time is I'm very good at simplifying down complex problems, which is why I'm able to help clients with this really complex issue of inventory that seems to overwhelm them. I think also speaking to why you said a lot of people don't tackle this, it's because it is complicated. And so we'd rather ignore the complicated things and teach on the fun, sexy, exciting things, the simple things. But I say, let's just tackle this head on. And we can simplify it down. So the way that I share math is we really start with a profit and loss statement. And right there, I'll see people's eyes glaze. And they're like, I promise this is not scary. But this is really the fundamental of how our business with inventory works. So a profit and loss just has five categories, five super simple categories. We have our sales, our cost of goods, which is inventory, and the margin. So the difference between those, everything it costs to run our business, and what's left at the end of the day. Super simple. So then we just say, okay, of those five categories, inventory is tied to four of them. And if inventory is tied to four of them, we better sit up and pay attention to what's going on in our business. And if it's tied to four of them, which do we want to tackle first? And then we just dive into which one we want to tackle first. And then we keep dropping our eyes to the bottom of that profit and loss, to that net profit, and seeing if what we're doing with the inventory levels is increasing our profit over time. And that's how I teach the math of it.
I love that. It makes it so straightforward. Yeah, I think we can get so wrapped up in the accountant's terms when actually, like you say, it's just counting up. Simple. Very, very simple.
Super. It's just addition and subtraction. That's all it is.
So once in the book, you've made that incredibly clear for all of us to very easily get to grips with those numbers and not be scared of them anymore. You then take us into six focuses, which I kind of read as how you can actually change things in your business, what you're trying to do, and then how to actually do it. And the first three of those is increasing sales, increasing margin, and decreasing expenses. And what I think kind of a bit of a theme now coming out of this episode, but I feel like most of us get stuck on increasing sales. And as an industry, we are awful about talking about increasing margin, which fundamentally is far more your success factor than increasing sales is. And then we never ever talk about decreasing expenses too. So I love the fact that you've split those out. Would you like to, you know, give a few tips from one of those to our audience? Let's go into tip mode, I think.
Okay, let's go to tip. So when I start working with a client, the first thing I look at is margin. My eye just goes right to their margin. So I have them spell out like what's going on. Give me the numbers. Give me the facts. I like to extrapolate that data. So this is tip number one, pull the data out. Tip number two, be completely honest. You cannot fix your problem if you lie to yourself or your coach or your profit strategist, but mostly to ourselves, right? We like to lie to ourselves and say, be honest with what the numbers really say. So tip number two. And then tip number three, figure out where your biggest opportunity is. So that for me is most often their margin. Example, I just started working with a client, phenomenal, so excited to work with her, over $1 million in business every year. She's a brick and mortar and online mixed store. And she's running a pretty tight ship. So she doesn't really, there's some things we're going to cut. She's making the sales, right? Where's the money, Sierra? Where's the money? I looked at her profit and loss, and in 10 seconds, I said, it's your margin. We're going to fix your margin. She's running under 50%. You cannot do that and survive. So we're going to fix the margin. So we find that biggest opportunity for quickest ROI, and then we dig into how that's going to work. And then I break that down. So I'd say tip number four is once you've identified, keep breaking it down. Like, don't stop at what you find as an answer. It's important to learn as an entrepreneur to be able to simplify, keep breaking down the information to get to the root of what you want to work on.
And you mentioned we should be running at a margin of over 50%. What we haven't quite done here is simply explain margin, because a lot of people go, 50%, but they might not be calculating margin the right way. So can you quickly give us the margin ins, please?
Yes. So if I buy a shirt for $5, and I sell it for $10, I have a 50% margin. So I make $5 on it. And I clearly remember, this is one of the stories in the book, when my profit strategist that I finally found sat me down and said, Sierra, just because you buy something for $5 and sell it for $10 doesn't mean you have $5 left. And I said, well, what do you mean? The lights cost money, payroll costs money, to open the door costs money, marketing costs. You might not even have a dollar left. So your margin is what's left for you. So we want to have the maximum. So now going back to that shirt, if I buy it for $5 and I sell it for $15, now my margin is much greater. So instead of a $5 margin, I have a $10 margin, or we can figure that out in percentage points. And that gives me extra. So now if it costs me $5 to run my business, I still have $5 for me at the end of the day. That's my net profit.
This is kind of one of these, when once we start getting into this, you get into that kind of seesaw effect of, do we want to sell more units or do we want to sell less units at a higher price or a higher margin and end up with the same profit, which is the point at which I think all of this, understanding these numbers, enables you to stop running around like a crazy person in your business and actually breathe again, because you work out how margin can impact if you can get that seesaw balance right. Is that something you find people working on more these days than they used to? Or
I don't think they're working on it, but I think they need to work on it. you know, that's another area that we'll tackle, because yes, there is the margin question and then there's the volume question. And there's not a right or wrong. It's the way that you're mixing that. So, you know, a lot of times when I have this conversation, someone will come to me in, you know, pain, so much pain. I have all this debt and all this inventory. And so I give them a plan and they say, oh, but I can't raise my prices, because all the excuses. So I'll say, okay, you might not be able to raise your prices in this category because that's dictated to you, you know, your MSRP or whatever, but what about the category over here? Or can we bring in another product where we can increase margin? And then on our lower margin product, we increase volume. And it's all about the mix. And you decide. It's stop being held hostage by your inventory. And you tell your inventory what you want it to do for you. I want you to produce this profit. And this is how I'm going to mix you in my business. And this is what I'm going to expect from the sales, instead of letting the inventory just come in and then feeling like we're at the mercy of whatever our inventory decides to do.
I think what you said there was absolutely brilliant. And then there was like a secret tip within it, which is not all products are created equal. Not all categories are created equal. So you kind of, if you can understand the role of each product category in the business, this is a volume seller, this is a high profit margin. Then you can decide where it goes in the marketing, where it physically goes in the shop. And this is when that bit we were talking about how you need to marry the inventory data and the marketing data to really move things forward, really starts to deliver for a brand.
Yeah, one of the best examples I have of that is a mentor that I had at the very beginning of my retail store said, Sierra, you always have to have a tennis ball in your store. And I was like, well, I'm a maternity store, so explain what you mean. And he said the concept of a tennis ball. So he had started a sporting goods store. He said tennis balls have horrible margin and that we don't make very much money on them. But people come into a sporting goods store and expect to find tennis balls, and we always have to have them in stock. Then we sell them everything else. We sell them the high dollar item. We sell them the high margin item. And so I think as business owners, what is that mix? What is your tennis ball? What is that one thing? It might not produce a lot of cash. It might not have an amazing margin, but the purpose of it is to point people to your higher margin products. And we talk about that in the book, that average ticket and how to increase that average ticket. That's all about the product mix that you're delivering to your customer.
I love that. Another term there, everyone. The average ticket. You thought you only had to worry about the average order value, but there's the average ticket as well. Could you quickly explain average ticket for us as well, please, Sierra?
Yes. Yes. So, you know, when a customer comes in and they buy a pair of jeans, it's $50. Or they buy a pair of shoes, it's $100. We want them to increase that. So are they buying a pair of jeans and the top to go with it? So when I work with a client, we look at their margin. The next low-hanging fruit is usually their average ticket. So I'll say, what is your average ticket running in your store? $42. Okay, if we could change that to a $52 average ticket, meaning every person that came in spent at least $52, what would that do in profitability? Then if you can increase that and the margin with the 52, I mean, it's just, we take the scariness out of numbers when it becomes a game that we are in control of as the business owner. We get to decide which chess piece to move. Sometimes it's margin, sometimes it's profit, sometimes it's cutting expenses, but we get to make that decision. We're not a victim of our business anymore.
Totally. And on a terms front, I think your average ticket and my average order are probably the same thing from your explanation there, which is really cool. But I like the fact that with yours, when I as a marketer talk average order value, I'm usually meaning you know, putting it in the hands of the customer to do it. Mm-hmm. And I love the way you're talking about it in terms of it being in your hands as the business owner by shifting the inventory mix. So, yes. So you're also looking at not just we'll try and get them to buy two things, but we'll try and get them to do two things, or we'll tweak our range so we've got products at these price points to encourage them to spend more, not just buy more items. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you know, I've never thought of that before, but I do. That is what I'm doing. I'm saying you, the business owner, are in charge of what the customer spends. I love that. Thank you for pointing that out. So in my store, we had an average ticket goal of a certain amount. I can't remember what it was now, maybe $55, let's say. And so I had a cheat sheet for all my staff that said, here's our average ticket goal. Here's four ways to get there. One pair of jeans, one shirt. Two shirts, one cardigan, one necklace. Like, I gave them options so the staff could then point the client in the right direction, all pushing them towards that. Another option is if you're e-commerce. I just visited with a client on this. She said her average ticket right now is like $95. And I said, well, what's your free shipping threshold? $75. I said, well, how about if we make free shipping $100 and then everyone will spend over $100 and your average ticket will go up. Why didn't I never think of that? She said, you know, but those are things we're pushing the consumer to do what we want them to do to make sure that we are profitable so that we're staying in business to continue to help them.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are.
Are you looking for ways to incorporate SMS and MMS into your marketing strategy? Well, you should be. A great way to do it is to add marketing text to your current campaigns. And with wildly successful transaction rates up to 481% higher, birthday offers are a good place to start. Send customers a birthday offer to the channel that's almost always at hand, their mobile device. And if they don't make a purchase, send a follow-up text in 2 days' time so your message doesn't get overlooked. Get more campaign ideas and see how AI-powered marketing automation is changing e-commerce at ecmp.info/bloomreach. That's ecmp.info/bloomreach. Learn more with Bloomreach. Visit ecmp.info/bloomreach today. This episode is brought to you by Tidio, the top-rated customer service platform on Shopify. Tidio enables you to manage all your communication channels in one dashboard, making it super easy for your support team to handle all customer inquiries. Tidio AI helps you automate more than 40% of support responses and increases your sales by recommending products and offering discounts to your website visitors. Increase customer satisfaction and sales with personalized shopping experiences. Visit ecmp.info/Tidio, that's T-I-D-I-O, and start using Tidio now. Plus, get an exclusive discount for e-commerce Masterplan podcast listeners by using the promo code MASTERPLAN.
It's time for the top tips round.
Now, I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our business to the level. So, Sierra, you've given us a whole load of tips already from your brilliant book. Are you ready to give us even more?
Sure.
Okay, let's do the book top tip then. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
Atomic Habits, James Clear. So good. Because I don't think as entrepreneurs or humans, we ever fully arrive at the discipline that we have the potential for. And so learning those habits and how to create amazing habits will have a ripple effect on profitability.
Brilliant. And I'm going to plug Sierra's book, Inventory Genius. Use your inventory to create more profit and keep more cash. We've been talking about it all episode, and you guys should go and grab that as well. Inventory Genius, go and find it. Okay. Sierra, another question for you. I'll stop answering them. The traffic top tip. Which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
Oh, I love this question. I'm so excited for this question. Old-fashioned communication and relationship building. That is how I'm on your show, right? I ask for help. you ask for help, we get to know one another. That's how we make relationships with our customers. That's how they come back over and over again. We get so caught up in a lot of gimmicks and in trying to figure out a quick solution to everything that we leave the old-fashioned relationship building, asking for help, connecting with people. That's my favorite.
Yeah, and combining your inventory data with your marketing planning is crucial. It's going to be ever more crucial over the next 10 years. Actually having conversations with your customers is going to be ever more crucial over the next X years, both as a research search tactic and making your marketing more human, I think. So you can still do it at scale. There's still ways to do it at scale, but it's just so crucial, so crucial.
Well, we pay so much for marketing and then we never talk to our people. They come shop with us and we never get to know them. It's so sad. We need to change that.
We definitely do. Okay, the tool top tip then. Maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
Yes, I am liking Voxer lately. I don't know if the world has Voxer or if that's a US app, but it's basically a walkie-talkie. So I use it for my mastermind. They can voice memo me or anyone else in the group, or they can type out a message anytime. And those voice memos never go away. So we can listen, re-listen. It's just a great tool. And there's a free version.
Nice. I've heard of people using it within a team to leave messages for each other in a kind of an asynchronous brain dumping kind of way, but I've not heard of people using it as a, you know, between businesses as a mastermind piece. And I could see it working really well with your marketing agency as well.
Yeah, it's so nice because then the clients, when they have something, they can ask one another and they're collaborating. You're creating more stickiness in your group, right? Because they're relationship building. It's just so good.
Nice. I'm going to have another look at Voxer now. Right, the carbon top tip. What's your favorite way to reduce the carbon footprint of an e-commerce store?
A whiteboard. I love a good whiteboard. You know, you write out your goals, you write things out, you can erase it instead of paper everywhere, poster board, all the things, which I'm a good, you know, I like paper. There's a purpose for it, but I love a good whiteboard.
I love that as an example. Permanent, erasable communication tools rather than reams of paper. Yeah, if I had a whiteboard in this office, how much paper would I save? A lot. A lot.
It's great.
Loving that tip. Okay, Sierra, before we say goodbye, could you please let the listeners know where they can find you, your business, and your book on the web and social media?
Yes. So the book is on Amazon, or you can find the book or anything else you want to find out about me at my website, www.sierrastockland.com. And then on social, Sierra Stockland, you can follow me on Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook. It's the same handle for all of them.
Brilliant. Easy as that, guys. And like we said so many times throughout this, inventory and understanding your inventory and making it work harder for you is crucial over the next decade or so. So now would be a great time to start learning more. So go follow Sierra, get her book, et cetera, et cetera. Sierra, thank you so much for coming on. It's been brilliant being able to spend more time talking to you. And I hope we've encouraged lots of the audience to go and have a read and upskill themselves. So thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you for taking time to have me.
So a fascinating chat there with Sierra. I highly recommend grabbing a copy of her book, Inventory Genius, Use Your Inventory to Create More Profit and Keep More Cash. You'll find it on her website and also on Amazon. And it is only 87 pages long. It is so she was talking about there being plenty of stories in there. There are plenty of stories. It's also marvelously to the point and easy to understand. And if you have any fear about trying to get to grips with those numbers, trying to get to grips with making your inventory work for you, or you're excited about how to make it work harder for you, then now is the time to go and get that book. Because for me, one of the massive themes from many conversations I've been having this year is that the inventory management, understanding, sweating and making it work hard for you part of e-commerce, and how we can combine that with our marketing and our other activity, really is going to be key to success in terms of profit, in terms of cash flow, obviously, but also in terms of sustainability and building better relationships with our customers and everything. It really is kind of like a missing part of the data puzzle, I think, for many brands. So Highly recommending that. You can get your hands on the notes from this show, including the top tips and links to what we've mentioned, by heading over to ecommercemasterplan.com or use our direct to episode short links. Just put ECMP, that's short for e-commerce master plan. So ecmp.info/episode number into the URL bar and you'll go straight to the correct page on the website like magic. Now, once you get to the website, please do also add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the other things I share to help you improve your business. And if you liked this episode and you want to learn more about how managing your inventory well is going to be the key to e-commerce success over the coming years and how to do it, then make sure you check out our recent E-commerce Explored Overstocks event, where we explored it from 5 different angles with 10 different guests, going from how to clear your excess stock right through to how to shift your business model to remove it from the equation. Get your free access via ecmp.info/overstock. Yes, you can still sign up for free and get access to all that great replay content. Thank you for tuning into this and every episode that you do of the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. I bring you a new interview every week because I want to inspire and help e-commerce business owners like you to succeed and thrive with your businesses, including progressing along the path to carbon net zero. So if you know someone this show can help, please tell them to listen to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. Have a brilliant week and don't forget to keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.
It's time to download our 500 top tips to make your e-commerce business more profitable ebook. Go to ecmp.info/ebook now.